The Night Owl Podcast, Episode 37, Haunted Vision, Part 2. Welcome to the Night Owl Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Ballou, and this is a place for all you restless spirits out there to tune in and hear true tales of the paranormal. I hunt these stories down, capture them from the mouths of those who've experienced them, and share them with you, right here. We're currently looking for more personal ghost stories or haunted locations, so if you or someone you know has one, please submit it to us for consideration. Go to thenightowlpodcast.com, click on the Submit Your Story page, and let us hear your ghost story. With my initial phone interviews and preliminary investigation of Dripping Springs Vision Center complete, I learned that this establishment was experiencing a wide range of unusual activity, including what appeared to be mischievous displacement of objects, rubber balls appearing out of nowhere, loud recurring bangs on the interior walls that could not be traced to rational sources, disembodied voices, whistling, shadow figures in the hall, and even a sighting of a female apparition in Exam Room 2. Now, in this episode, we'll continue our investigation of these claims by bringing psychic friend Sarah to explore the facility and the grounds to perhaps shed some light on what the staff of Dripping Springs Vision Center are experiencing. Stay tuned. I'm excited to announce that we have a new brand sponsoring the Night Owl, Athletic Greens. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/nightowl. If you aren't already a Patreon supporter, please consider joining at patreon.com/thenightowlpodcast. In exchange for a small monthly donation, you gain access to exclusive videos, audio, interviews, behind the scenes, live streams with myself, Sarah, and Alexis, venue walkthroughs, and more. A quick call to action to our Night Owl family out there. We're trying to expand our show so we can produce more episodes and travel with our team to new cities and even new states. You can help us achieve this by simply doing the following four things. Follow or subscribe to our show on your podcast listening app, give us a five-star rating, write us a review, and lastly, share your love for the show on social media. We appreciate your support. At the close of our previous episode, I left you with a bit of a cliffhanger. I had gotten word that Dr. Dobson had an experience shortly after our visit. Apparently, from what I was being told, it was a pretty significant experience, and it happened in Exam Room 2. Naturally, after hearing about all the strange occurrences surrounding this room in our initial investigation, I was extremely curious to know exactly what the doctor had seen or heard. So I arranged a phone call with him as quickly as I could.
I think it was about just a normal patient care day at the office. We had patients coming in and out, normal schedule. And I was seeing a patient after my exam. I was in the front area and then heading back to my office. And I was walking by Exam Room 1 and 2, which are down a hallway. I passed Exam Room 1 and passed Exam Room 2 and was about ready to head into my office. Exam Room 2 is on the left and my office is on the right of the hallway. And so out of the corner of my eye, I saw an image in Exam Room 2. I could definitely make out the image of a woman, and she had a cardigan sweater on. It's tan, and she had tan skin and dark hair, and she was standing in a place that usually has a chair in the corner of that room. But the odd thing was that she was just facing the wall. I just saw her, the side of her. I saw the profile of her, and she was standing like she was in timeout, you know, facing the wall. So I turned and looked really quickly to try to get a better, you know, head-on view. Didn't see anything after that, but it was just this quick image that I saw. The type of features I could make out was long, dark hair, woman about, you know, maybe 5'4", long cardigan sweater that was tan, and it was just kind of an interesting quick glimpse of an image.
Man, that is very, very intriguing, especially since that is the sighting of a former sighting with one of your cleaning people, right?
Yeah, that was the same room that she reported a similar image of a patient that was not there.
And there's no security cameras in that room, right?
No, there are not in that exam room.
Oh, man. And obviously, in the moment, you double-checked, so it could not have been a person, and then they walked out because you were in the moment, saw it, looked away, then looked back, and then it was gone?
For sure. I think the only aberration that I could have made of it, other than, you know, paranormal activity, was if there was some sort of reflection in my window in my office that was giving a reflection. But there was no, like, human form out my window. It's only cars.
Yeah. I mean, and you're a doctor of the eyes, so it's really interesting to get your take on. Is there a plausible explanation for that? It's okay if there's not, because that's what we're investigating. But from an optometrist and from an eye doctor perspective, do people, what would there be any explanation that you would see something like that and be able to make out features like that, and then it's not there?
Right. For sure. That image is just not formed by, you know, a retinal pathology or something that would account for a visual, you know, way to cite that kind of detail. So it was definitely an image that I saw. And it was a flash. Like, it wasn't something I could really engage with at all. It was just, the more I looked, the quick it was gone.
Now, did you pick up on any, I know it was so fast, you know, because you describe it as a flash. Sometimes you get sort of, with what I've found in paranormal investigating, is that when people have sightings, they get more also like intuition, like gut feelings of what that image might have been too. Do you have any other features or characteristics that came to mind when you saw it? Did she feel really young? Did she feel really old? Did she feel middle aged? Did you get anything of that nature when you picked up the presence?
I didn't get a very youthful or old, so she definitely felt middle aged. But if I was to age her, I'd say between like 30 and 45.
Okay. And then as far as the hair color and skin color, do you feel like you could attribute ethnicity to her as well?
I felt like with the dark hair, I felt like there was very much a Latin type feel to her.
You know, I've done a few little things here and there as far as research so far, but it's been hard because that location doesn't seem like there's a lot of deaths pertaining to the location, but there might've been a lot of passerbys and people that lived when it was rented out and things like that. So I don't know, out of your knowledge, do you know of anybody that was present there that was of Hispanic or Latin descent?
I don't know myself. Yeah. I don't know the tenants that lived there.
To me, this was a significant new experience. The doctor himself had actually witnessed a full-bodied apparition. A couple of things about this new sighting that were important to me were, one, this was the actual doctor who witnessed this, a person that, based on my initial interviews, was one of the more skeptical and rational of the staff. And two, what he saw aligned with what the cleaning woman was reported to have seen, a woman in exam room 2. I was glad to have this new corroborating evidence of this mysterious female apparition. And now, with the doctor, we seem to finally have some physical details like hair color, skin, and age. So now it was time to pack our bags and get Sarah to Dripping Springs Vision Center. It was around dusk on February 19th when we arrived. Alexis and I arrived early, and while we waited for Sarah, we decided to have the doctor take us to exam room 2. And show us exactly where he'd had his most recent sighting.
So the day that you were here, what was it? Was it a day that you were just working? Or?
Yeah, that was I was seeing patients that day. That was during an active day. And I'd just seen a patient here, done my thing. And I was walking along at this point. And I came through here. And right as I was heading into my office, I saw a lady standing right there. In place of this chair, because this didn't seem to be here, and she was like this. And she had a cardigan on. She had dark hair. She seemed like she was about like 5'6". And for some reason was looking at the wall like this. That's what I saw out of the corner of my eye. And then I turned to like square up and see like what was gone. But there was this really quick little image had that amount of detail to me. I couldn't make out facial features. Seemed kind of, she had a tan. It was, you know, there were some features, but I couldn't get distinct facial features.
And you said it was like a tan cardigan?
Yeah, tan cardigan.
What color hair again?
Dark hair.
Dark hair?
Mm-hmm.
And was it?
I'd say her age seemed to be like between, I think it was, you know, 20 and 40 or 25, 45 years old.
Yeah, it's hard to judge. Like really young and not really old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was eerie watching the doctor stand just inside the doorway of exam room 2 and stand staring at the wall, reenacting what the woman was doing in his recent sighting. The way he positioned himself was really odd, and no real person would stand where he stood, looking kind of downward and at the wall the way he was. Had I seen that, I would have been slightly unnerved. I'm still not sure what to make of these two very similar sightings in this exact room, but Sarah had now arrived. We had a team member guide her here as we did not tell her the exact location, but upon arrival, Sarah didn't allow me to follow her like I usually do. She wanted some space and wanted to explore on her own, so everyone hung back and we let Sarah roam the exterior and interior of the property. After about half an hour or so, she called us back inside. I was curious what she was about to say.
You have a combination of a lot of things, which is really interesting. It's the sensation of having somebody right behind you, but you turn around, there's nobody there. While you're doing something, they're like, oh, I'm interested in what you're writing on, or something in that fashion, like that crowding feeling. That's just one spirit. So moving to the others, majority of them are actually smaller things. Maybe the height of the counter, maybe not taller than the couch, like they're small. These are your more, they're not children, they're elemental styled spirits like gnomes or fairies or trolls or little things. And that's coming from the outside, which I kind of expected some of that activity in here, but not as much as they're in here, because usually things like trolls and fairies don't like to be indoors. Gnomes, yes, they'll come in and they'll mess around with people. Things like, I left my keys here, and you know you left them there. Then you go to the restroom and you come back and they're not there. Then you look all over the place. I left them in this office, I left them in that office, and you're looking, you come back, guess what? They're right back on the counter where you left them. Fun things like that. Gnomes do that. They like to move things around.
Trolls, fairies, gnomes. Being honest, Night Owls, I did not expect to hear those words come out of Sarah's mouth just now. I know I dabble in the obscure already with ghosts in the spirit realm, but in my life I've always just heard those terms in my favorite fantasy books and movies. However, I know, much like ghost stories, their roots are also based in history, folklore, and legends, so I wasn't completely dismissing this just yet. Besides, what I found incredibly validating was within the first minute that Sarah was relaying this information that she was picking up, she mentions keys and objects going missing. Spot on with what the staff have experienced here. Margarita constantly having boxes and papers misplaced, and even Dr. Dobson witnessing the odd displacement of his keys in his office. So let's keep an open mind as Sarah continues to reveal what she picked up on her first walkthrough.
The interesting thing that between the two front trees, which I already drew out, there's a portal there. Which is not helpful either. I didn't stand in between it, so I'll look and see if it's a two-way. But that causes a lot of traffic. The interest here, though, is actually on your part and on your part, the two biggest lights in the room.
Sarah was referring first to Margarita, then second to Dr. Dobson.
So they're interested in coming in because your light is really bright, and they stop and stay because you already have creatures living in your home. And like in your home, I say in the business, right? So since you guys are attracting these things, more things are attracted. They stick around, they wait, they look to see what's going on, and then they either move on or just hang out for a bit before they decide to move on. Not helpful that when people walk in, they are walking in with their own entourage as well. And if they take a liking to any of you, those things will stick around for a little bit too. Lots of fun. Lots of fun. You have great, fun, reflective surfaces, lots of shiny objects here, so I can see why a gnome would want to be in here, right? Adding on the wooden aspects that you have, so it's almost like an homage to the nature that you've got going on as the interior decoration of that place. So they think it's fun, you're very respected of nature, you're doing those kinds of things, so they want to stay and stick around.
We were standing in the main lobby, which is connected to the optical room, when Sarah was relaying all this to us. She touched on how the supposed gnomes, or earth spirits as we'll later refer to them as, were drawn to shiny reflective objects and surfaces, and this space had a lot of that. Again, Sarah is unaware of any of the claims, but we all knew this was the room where the frames constantly were found on the ground and fallen off the display racks. But the gnomes weren't the only presences in the building. Sarah was about to inform us of another stronger presence that she picked up on, a female.
Fun things that are coming from the actual spirit and not necessarily the woodland creatures that are living in here is the light things. She wants to communicate with the lights a lot because I think you've been ignoring her quite a bit. So she's been just turning things on and off or making things not work. The electrical things are this particular spirit, the unusual strange glitches that you get when you're typing or moving things around. That's her really trying to figure out how to communicate with someone, right? Someone here. That's just how it's working. She's taking the predominant factor here. Everything in the common areas is these gnomes and this one woman who's, let me see if she's not really giving me much about who she is. Let me see. I want to see if she'll actually let me see her. I'm just seeing like a watery outline and not necessarily the detail of who she is. Let me ask a different question. Cool. We're looking at, there was nothing here. There was nothing here before. So she's associated with the land. Something about the property. She's really older. So it is something about the property. It's something about where it was built. It has a significance to her. So I'm not sure if they maybe owned it before or she's really hard. I think it's because she's all energy right now. Let me give her a funnel. Maybe she can give me more. Ranch house. Let's move. Why are you here though? Like what's the draw? It is the land. Okay. She's land-based. I'm just going to see. She's giving me flashes, but I'm going to try to piece them together. So the bottom of the dress is like a kind of like a build, but not like too far out. Like she doesn't have like the crinoline under it. So it's kind of flat. It looks like 1900s, maybe 1920s. It's like really strange kind of rancher kind of look. I think it's odd that she's not wearing pants, but she's wearing like these. Especially what she's walking through, it looks like really rough, strange terrain, but she just have like boots on. Moving up is like a silhouetted kind of top, but I can't see her face. I know she's like, her hair's like half up, half down. So that's the only thing I can tell you, but that's about the timeline. It's about the 1900s, 1920-ish is somewhere around there. And she's maybe, I'm gonna be nice with the age thing, cause that's always a little, oh, she made it clear, like 28. Very nice, because I was like, she's a 28, but she looks a little bit older. So it looks like somebody who's been sunned quite a bit. So she looks like she's in her mid-30s, even though she's 28, 29. Hard life, right? Does that. Okay, well, that makes sense. The energy work she's doing, oh, the computer stuff is out of interest. She's trying to figure out how it works so she can give a message, right? So it gets glitchy. She's just trying to figure out what it is. She doesn't know what that is. I'm mentally explaining this is like communication. This is like how we work. The lights, she understands. The lights, she knows, turn them on and off, flicker every now and then. And something about the cabinets. Who likes to keep the cabinet doors open?
Does that ring true to anybody or no?
Cabinets, like they just, like they don't shut them all the way? They're not completely shut?
Well, they're the soft close, the comfort close. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just push it and then it slowly closes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she finds herself trying to figure out how to do that,
right, to yes, push it all the way
like
faster.
She's trying to figure that yeah. out, like how to do that, and it's like it's not giving the results, so I'm gonna have to tell her that this is what the cabinets do. She's like, oh, they don't slam. Makes sense to her. In her mind, they're still open. Mm. Right, it's like they're still, it's not, so she's like,
yeah, because it gets to about right here and then it just slowly, yeah,
so she's closes. Like, why doesn't it, so she's saying they're open. Mm-hmm. I have to close them.
This first round of information that Sarah was sharing about the strong female presence in the building had me scratching my head a little bit. There were some correlations, but there were also some things not connecting with my knowledge of the experiences had here. First, the connections. There was a strong belief amongst the staff that a female presence haunted this site. She was first seen in exam room 2 by the cleaning staff, then most recently by Dr. Dobson himself. So the fact that Sarah informed us now that aside from these mischievous earth spirits, she was picking up on just one strong spirit, and that it was female. However, she was never drawn to the hallway or exam room 2. She merely talked about this female presence in the front lobby, where we were standing when she relayed all this information you just heard. A couple of other connections were her skin color and her age. They all seemed to align with what Dr. Dobson had most recently reported regarding his sighting in exam room 2. Something that might be a connection here that I made a mistake not including in part 1 of this series is the flickering lights. On our preliminary investigation, the doctor and staff had informed us of issues with lights flickering quite consistently. Dr. Dobson witnesses the light above the patient chair in exam room 1 flicker at least once a day, he says. Desiree mentioned that the light above where the patients sit in exam room 2 does the same thing when she's in there with someone. And on occasion, There are often light flickers in the break room when the staff are mingling back there, and even sometimes in the optical as well. On our very first visit, it appeared that these light issues could just be electrical problems, so I didn't want to include them in our stories, but now that Sarah was picking up on them, I felt it best to disclose them now. However, the computer glitches and the cabinet issues were not things that the staff have reported issues with yet. But at this time, Sarah wanted to continue to move through the space. She pulled us into the back break room kitchen area. Not much has been reported in this area other than an incident where a staff member saw keys swinging aggressively on the key hook when no one was around to move them.
This will have the sound of things shuffling around, especially at closing time when things kind of settle. The sound will be like if somebody's in here, but nobody's in here. Or glass breaking, or maybe something falls out of the cabinet, falls off the side of the counter, weird things like that. These are all your gnomes, just so you know. Oh, my little woodland creatures like this place.
As a reminder, this break room is directly behind the front optical and Margarita's desk. Sarah was just picking up more mischievous gnome activity here. But there was one more energy she picked up on.
You do have a smaller elemental that is like deer-like. So it appears to look like it has antlers. If it's standing in a certain way, it's going to look like a deer. But if you shine your lights on it, like the car lights or something on it, it's actually going to take on this really unusual form where you're like, you double take to make sure, was it a deer or was it a person? That kind of look. He doesn't always show himself, but he is reflective of this back corner space in your yard. So if you were to see them, you would see them through the windows or through the car lights when you're backing out of the front. The car lights will shine on it, it'll make you kind of look, and then all of a sudden he'll just not be there. But you don't really register what you actually just saw, whether it was a person or an animal or nothing at all. Like, it's just kind of like, what the hell? My imagination, I'm tired, it's late, that kind of stuff. You're gonna do it. But he tends to patrol this back area, because as soon as I came in, he was like, who are you? That was the explicit, why are you here? What is happening? Right? So I was like, I'm just a visitor. But in this area, it really is, it's really just the nuisance little gnomes. They're like kids. So if you're dealing with children, 4 or 5 year olds, 3, 4, stop. That's all you have to do. Like, you need to stop. Or bring me my keys back. I'm going to go to the bathroom and come right back. They need to be back where they need to go, right? Be very firm. And they'll stop doing that stuff, right? Leaving little things like sugar cubes or candy out for them will stop them from being too much of a pest. Sometimes they'll just take that with it. Or sometimes you can open the back door or open the front door and toss the candy out so they can leave and you can close the door. The ghost, unfortunately, you're going to just have to deal with her because she's associated with the land. Most of her things are like, can you please bring some live things in here? So that means something like a bigger plant, some flowers every now and then, things to kind of liven up the place. She's requesting that. The land itself is something that's being taken care of by the elementals and everything, but she's not somebody that needs to leave here. She has to stay, or that portal is going to start bringing in other things that you don't want here. She's doing her job as far as keeping everything kind of balanced. Yeah, you know, you'll have these little things because she's messing around and letting you know she's here, but she's not going to go outside of that. She won't do anything outside of that. Everything else that comes in, the entourage of spirits that come in with the people that come to see you, she is making sure that they stay the way that they're supposed to stay. So my two biggest lights in the room, though, you guys attract a lot of energy. So when you're seeing people or when you're talking with them, it comes from two places. It comes from inside your heart, right? Inside your spirit. And this is seen. It's a huge way to do that. So when you're creating these big lights with people, their entourage wants to stay. So the idea is that when you meet with them, you also want to kind of shut that energy down, all of you, right? As they come in contact with you, shut that energy down as soon as they leave. Thank you. The thank you very much needs to be like, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Let me just cut that energy tie with you, right? So that they don't stick around and start becoming other problems. Although she's doing a really good job of keeping things kind of balanced and at bay. So when you guys do get people that stick around a little bit, she kind of like shows them around and then says, bye, throws them out the door. I don't know if she's throwing them through the portal, I'll find out right now, or if she's just telling them to leave. She knows it's a public space, so she's always going to be doing that.
Sarah, oddly enough, had yet to enter the optical area, the room with all the frames where the staff find them laying on the floor at opening time. So I asked her to join me there and let me know if she picked up on anything.
Take a stroll through that area in the front office, the front
this
spectacle area, yeah.
The one with all the shiny stuff?
Yeah, the shiny stuff.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually your prize area for your little gnomes to play in. So these are glasses flying off of the counters, weird little things going on like that. This is all them because it's nice and shiny and, you know, shiny things gnomes like.
Well, there was a clear hit. And again, Sarah is pointing out that these gnomes like shiny objects, and this room is full of them, including the glasses and frames.
It's one of those things. So you're working with two different types of things. Chaos, the little gnomes who are running around and throwing things off of where they are, or the stands are moving things. That's just the things that they do. And she's more about the tidy of things, like making sure the doors, if they don't roll just right, she'll roll them back into place. If the doors are slightly open, she'll try to close them. And then fixing things. And sometimes she's admitting that sometimes when she fixes the glasses, she drops them too. But she doesn't throw them across the room. That's not her. It's just trying to kind of tap and put them back into place. So you may even get here and have some that are like on the floor and stuff. And that's just because she was trying to tidy up while you guys were gone. The flowers, that's what you want. Like something alive. She's asking for something alive. She was asking more green. Who's hearing the talking? Being very clear now, there's several times where she's had to apologize because maybe you experienced something really weird. It wasn't meant to be, like, to scare you. That was not her intent. She was trying to apologize and she couldn't figure out how to do that without scaring you even more. So, sorry. She's more receptive to your energy, which is, she tries to really communicate a little bit more with you more often. I think you can hear her more often than the rest of everyone else, and that's kind of why she's kind of almost, not picking on you, but she has chosen you to communicate with because she knows she can hear her. And our lovely doctor here he's not receptive. He knows they're there, but he's just, I don't have time for that right now, right? Fixing somebody's eyes, thank you. So she knows that, and so she reaches out to the path of least resistance, which is you, and then the next one is you, where she starts messing with you if she doesn't listen. If she scares her a little bit too much, it's your turn. It's just how it works. Yeah, she's like, ooh, let me move over here. So that's all it is. But it's really the apology. The voices were her just trying to really kind of get really talk to you, and it just didn't work out the way she thought it was going to work.
During this last exchange, Sarah was speaking to Margarita. And Margarita, Desiree, and Dr. Dobson had remained silent and did not validate anything Sarah was relaying to them the whole time she walked through the building. It's part of the process I like to maintain when I do these type of investigations. You can hear how there were no confirmations made in the audio you heard thus far. But after about an hour or so on these types of investigations, I typically will start to have the clients validate what they can and also start to share some things myself with Sarah so she can dive deeper into the case. In this moment, I decided to let her know about the female apparition sightings.
There is a correlation to a female, definitely, amongst this team.
Okay.
There's been some serious sightings, so I would love you to see what you picture more.
I mean, she's not really doing anything other than energy waves and then just those flashes.
28.
No, she's 28, but she appears to look in her mid-30s, okay. like 35. But her posture is a little more hunched and forward, kind of. I don't know how to explain it. The way that you would see somebody who's shy or trying to not be prominent, even though they're kind of a little taller, they're trying to hide. If she does appear, it's high frequency days, which means it's days that you guys have had like a lot of volume of people in the building. It's a little more energy for her. So it's like one of those, like the busier you are, the more she's going to be visible.
Dr. Dobson confirmed that the day he saw the female apparition, it was a very busy day in the office. I turned to Margarita and wanted her to open up now and validate anything outside of the obvious that we may have not connected the dots on. Keep in mind that Margarita was the most nervous and frightened by this activity, and you can kind of hear it in her voice and nervous laughter.
Have you heard anything of like voices like she mentioned?
When she was on the kitchen area, I see when I go on lunch, the shadows of a deer or like a person walking by, I see it. sometimes.
You've told her that.
What she say, I validate that she say there could be personalized in something else.
It's an elemental spirit, sometimes it'll appear like a person, and sometimes it'll look like an animal.
Like an animal. Yeah. I have experienced that very many times back there. Yes.
And what about, I don't know, she was saying that you might hear voices. Do you ever hear voices or not in this location?
She's like,
sometimes, but I just like, you know, so close, like little things, like whispering things like that. Like, I turn around all the time because sometimes I'm thinking, well, like, he comes sometimes, I'm busy doing something.
Yeah.
No, there's nobody there or... The person
then you'll question me. Were you just here? No, I was in my office. Yeah.
So yes, and mainly my, you know, moving things around. I validate what she say. Glasses, of course.
100%.
Oh my gosh! All the time.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
On the floor, just what she say.
So far, Sarah quickly laid out what she believed were the sources of the unusual experiences the staff at Dripping Springs Vision Center were having. I was a bit thrown off hearing about gnomes and earth spirits, and would need to do more research to understand this concept better. But from what Sarah was saying, their characteristics matched a lot of the mischievous activity that the staff were dealing with. The glasses being thrown, the keys being messed with, objects being misplaced, and Margarita constantly being messed with in the optical area. Then, it was pretty validating to hear her say that she sensed only one actual spirit in the building, and that it was a female with traits that aligned with the apparition Dr. Dobson encountered. However, there was still a lot that Sarah had not touched on. When we get back from this short break, we dive deeper into investigating the woman by taking Sarah to exam room 2. We try to get to the bottom of the unusual loud bangs that reoccur in this building, introduce Sarah to the rubber balls, and then explore the exterior grounds in search of clues to why this property feels like it has some unique energy. Stay tuned. As an active person, I'm always looking for ways to improve my personal health and well-being. I exercise daily despite having a very busy schedule, as you night owls know, and I do my best to eat healthy and nutritious meals daily. But despite all that, I've been struggling with gut health issues and low energy levels throughout the day recently. So I started taking AG1 by Athletic Greens, mostly because I specifically wanted something that would promote better digestion and gut health and supply me with the additional vitamins and nutrients that I needed to support my body's overall health. AG1 couldn't be any simpler to use, folks. One scoop in 8 ounces of cold water provides me with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that helps my body's digestive health, supports my immune system, and gives me the energy and vitality I need to get me through the entire day. I've made AG1 a part of my new daily routine, and I take it every morning without fail. And as a result, I've seen significant improvement in my gut health and an increase in energy throughout the entire day. It's one scoop, once a day, every day for my own personal health and energy now. I would like to thank Athletic Greens for supporting the show. If you're looking for a simpler and cost-effective supplement routine, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/nightowl. That's athleticgreens.com/nightowl. Check it out. Following Sarah's initial readings and reveals, I now needed to bring up some key aspects to this haunting that she didn't quite hit on yet. First, I wanted to see if the woman that she was seeing could potentially be the same woman that has been seen in exam room 2.
There's a specific room that now there's been 2 full visual sightings of a woman. And Dr. Dobson hadn't seen anything at all, but he called me about 2-3 weeks ago and was like, get your recorder going. And he saw the woman. And he could describe her pretty clearly. So I'm really like interested to kind of have him share what he saw. And then you can kind of say, that's not her. somebody else or whatever.
I didn't get to draw her out. So she's more, let me see if I can grab the outline of her. If she has her hair up, it's usually up and either to the side or up and back. Like that's kind of what it's going to look like and give you an outline of what that would seem like. So it always seems like she's got one, this is how it is, right? One side's a little longer than the other, or it's pulled. Bottom of her dress is going to be something like a dress sometimes, or like for a minute I thought it was pants. It was really strange. It was a really strange little kind of like silhouetted to the body, and then a short kind of silhouetted, but it's like a short kind of silhouetted shirt. She changes her outfits, just so you know, because us girls were vain like that. That is kind of like square and boxy, but still kind of like this weird pant kind of dress flowy thing look. I don't know how to explain it, but it's got like ruffles and it has like these little things. But definitely her hair piece is always something that's kind of quite in between.
Do you get any sort of like color or in like her skin and hair or any of that?
Her hair is dark, like it's a darker color. It's either a really dark brown or maybe a dark, like an auburn color, I guess, if you will. And then if you're seeing her colors, the colors are either going to be white or blue. And she also has like this really distinctly, like there's a pattern to what she's wearing. I don't know how to explain it other than that. But the gait is the part of it is how she walks is not like a normal walk. There's a strange little gait to her.
What about skin?
To me, it's like a deeper, like a native skin color almost. But I don't know because it's really kind of just silhouetted with a lot of light. I can't really tell.
Sure.
What I saw, the age range that you mentioned seemed exactly what I was between like 25 and 45. And tanned skin, dark hair. And with her silhouette, it was kind of like a flowy, like the shawl, like it could have been that, but the shawl was in the mix too. It kind of reminded me of a cardigan or shawl like Margarita has there. I noticed that with the skin color, just tanned, yeah.
It's the same person.
Same person?
Yeah. There's something in this corner that she's anchored to, that's why she's always in this room. And it could be something as simple as maybe the water runs through here or there's power lines through here. Something is going on that's keeping her kind of anchored in this space. Maybe this was where she was, but this is, there is something that's keeping her anchored here because it has flow to it. It has something to it that she likes.
Yeah, the subject there, the flow would be like there.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So feeds the power. And if you have too many people, in the front area, this is where she kind of comes to kind of rest and recharge.
That was a busy day.
Mm-hmm.
This is a retreated place for her. This is a place to rest,
okay.
Recharge,
okay.
Kind of just sit. You know, this is her, like her office. This is her office.
Yeah.
Space,
yeah.
Right? So that's her all. Office next to our office.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So.
After visiting exam room 2 and hearing the details from Dr. Dobson's sighting, Sarah was confident that the woman presence she was picking up on was the same woman there have been 2 sightings of. Now I wanted to bring up the strange phenomena of the rubber balls manifesting, to see if Sarah could pick up anything that might explain or debunk this unusual activity.
So they have a very small, intimate staff. How many total?
Four.
Four.
And plus staff, yeah.
These have apported here. They just keep showing up in the hallways. And it's weird because they're like big and brand new. And they don't look like anything ancient or special, but their staff swears no one's brought them in, and they just keep appearing in the hallways, or in here and in the hallways.
Well, but it hasn't happened in quite a while.
Quite a while?
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years since anything has happened.
It makes sense to me because the portal.
The portal?
Sarah pointed through Dr. Dobson's office at his window to a tree that was just out in the front yard. She said that was the location of one of the several portals that she had felt on her initial walk around.
Oh, it's right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's his office?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It's in the 2 trees that are in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So that does not surprise me.
There was one other thing I was dying to run by Sarah. The loud recurring bangs that the staff consistently hear to this day.
There's one, the big thing that's coming out to me that I want to bring up, and y'all are going to want to know what's causing this. So you may not have an answer, but tell them about the distinct bangs that y'all heard from day one and that continues to this day. They constantly hear this sound. Who describes it the best? I know, like...
banging, like, at the wall when they bang, but it's hard.
It's
like,
and it's not just isolated to one location, right? It's all throughout the...
It's all throughout.
But for me, it's
this is how loud it is.
Because the echo, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they say it's always 3.
Always 3.
I'm going to tell you my stuff that I know that happens to me in my house, and it's possible that this is probably what's happening to you. I do every now and then get elementals that are really, really big. I mean, they're not Some of these creatures are not like, they're probably bigger than the building. Like, they're huge. And they will show up at my house. So I have one in particular that comes to me from a specific space. And that's when I know I'm going to end up at that space, because they show up and hang out at my house until I get there. And what I hear is that same knocking, or it'll literally sound like somebody leaned up against the house. The whole house will crack. And I'll be like, oh, he's back, right? That's kind of the sense that I get. Sometimes they're just telling you they're there, right? And it's not the inside, it's coming from outside. It's a way of reverberating their vibration through your home to let you know, I'm here. I'm doing that kind of thing. So I'm not quite sure if that's what is happening, but it sounds very similar to what happens to me in my house when I get a visit from a very large elemental spirit. Okay. And you have so much outside. Your outside is very welcoming to all nature. It really has a really good, even though it's a public space and you have that big highway out there, for some reason, it really feels a little inclusive in here, like really kind of hidden away. And they're understanding, even from the simple design of the space, you've included nature in it. And they're understanding that and seeing that you're respectful of that space, so they're just sticking around. And again, not helpful. You just parked your business in front of a natural portal, right? It is in between two male and female energies.
You said there was two portals. Was it like, you said there was a two-way portal versus a one-way portal?
Right, you were two gonna types. I'm going to go determine what you have, right? It's just something that's dumping things.
Sarah was about ready to take a walk around the exterior of the property now with Alexis and myself, now that the sun had fully set. But before stepping out, the staff had one more question to bring up. The strange sounds of objects falling or crashing, like the time Margarita heard the crash in the testing room. Then there were a couple of instances with staff hearing music coming from inside the building that they were not able to trace. I'll spare you the long conversation we had and just jump right to the theory that Sarah and the team came up with, and finally had Alexis explain.
That could be residual,
it's
too.
It's residual, like echoes from the house.
From the house. And y'all know, I'll let Alexis, because he explains this much better, but tell them the theory behind like stone tape and like residual hauntings.
I was thinking about that too, because we don't know what's underneath.
Yeah.
So there's a theory called the stone tape theory, and you know, we also need to find out what this is made out of. Do you know what this is made out of?
While explaining stone tape theory, we were in the main lobby, and Alexis was leaning up against the stone countertop of the reception desk.
Is it?
Marble.
Is marble? Okay.
I thought.
And then,
No, this is real quartz.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Quartz is what we're going to talk to you about.
Okay. Yeah.
So quartz. Yeah.
There's a thing called the stone tape theory that certain stones that are naturally in underground around have quartz in them, mm-hmm. and quartz is basically like a memory keeper. Mm-hmm. So when there's things like quartz naturally on the property, or sometimes they're in the foundation. Sometimes they're literally brought in, or sometimes they're inside the brick, or the stone. It magnifies or like replays things that may have happened. So for example, every day that you come in, let's say you put your pen here and then you move it over here, and you do that every day for like 5-10 years. 30 years from now, someone's gonna come in one day and see a pen here that will do this. And it's that's the idea. That's obviously like an extreme amount, but that's what would happen. And they would think, oh, there's a ghost here, but it's actually just a replay of something that you did every day.
So tenants that lived here could have been, energy. Could have walked this hallway in a similar fashion repeatedly every day. Things like that could leave a stamp on a place. The music.
If you think about how often you listen to the same song over and over and over again, depending on where you are, right, it will leave that echo behind.
Alexis brought up one final important note to Sarah before we stepped outside again.
One of the things that he found out from the previous owner is that apparently one of the tenants used to practice some form of spiritual something. So that could explain why elementals are coming in, because especially if somebody was doing witchcraft or something along those lines, they invite those things in.
I know that there's something that they were doing outside, because that is very prominent when you walk onto the property. There's some kind of stillness to the property itself, which is why it feels different from when I was on the street and I turned in. I could feel the distinct change in the energy, like, oh, this is nice. How strange, right? It should be. It should feel more busy because it's a business and where it's located, and it just doesn't. It just feels really kind of like calm,
like,
and like it's by itself. Yeah, it's just really odd.
How many portals can we put in one place?
Uh-oh.
It's like Pioneer Farms.
Yeah. Sarah's gonna get in and then she disappears and she's at Pioneer Farms.
It might happen. Don't. Hilarious. I swear to God. This is an exit.
Okay.
But this is not. This is an entrance. In, out. And then there's one more over there. This is in and out. This is two-way, not natural, this one. I can feel that it's a person's energy here. Mm. It's protective nature, like Wicca practice. It's some type of element magic, but not air and earth. And I can hear the chant, but I can't hear the words, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. This is an in and out portal. But it's for protection. Like, everything that's coming in and out is, like, really weird. These are protective spirits I'm not familiar with. If I run across the names, I'll know who it is, but I don't know. But it's, like, three different protective spirits, but all of them are nature-based. One looks like a crow. One looks like an owl, and the other one looks like it has antlers. It's like they have like black stripes on them.
Antelope or elk?
Gazelle maybe, almost, gazelle, or something. Yeah. It's got like that little black, so I can see it. But so that's the three, the protective spirits that are in this space. This was man-made though. This is not a natural portal, while the other ones are natural. So I think the one in the front is also a natural portal. I didn't fully walk in there, but we can look.
Eventually, we made it around to the front, to the portal that's just outside Dr. Dobson's office window.
This is natural, and it's in and out. There's only one unnatural portal on this property, it looks like. But the weird is that I can almost know where the end of the protection circle begins. It's a circle. Like, it ends on the edge of the property. Like, those last few trees are not in it.
Mm.
So it's like all the way around, the whole backside is protected, and then all through the, like, midway through the parking lot, or maybe where those, as you drive up, in between where the trees start, that's where it ends, and then it just encompasses the entire space. It's a really cool protection. Don't know what they were doing, but it doesn't seem like a bad thing at all. It's almost like it's like if they created a violet flame, but not with flame. It's cool. And it's above, too.
It's a like a dome?
Like a dome. Mm-hmm. It's above, too. What I haven't seen here is any native spirit other than, well, I'm assuming she might be a native spirit, but other than that woman, there's no other native spirit here, but it's all elemental.
After Sarah explained what she was seeing, this large protective-like dome over the entire property and building, we started to brainstorm and theorize about these odd gnome characters.
Usually you get one, maybe two, but like this, like a little group of...
My theory, because you said that there's a circle around it.
I think they're trapped.
Somebody cast a circle.
What did you trees, please?
And they're trapped in the property?
They probably didn't close the circle, which is good because it's open and it's doing its job. But I think that they invited, when you cast a circle, the first thing you do is you do the protection around the property, the casting the circle. The second step is invoking the elements. So I think they literally invited
them in.
Oh, that makes sense. And so they're like, well, we're allowed in here now. And they probably didn't do a banishing to let them out.
Ah,
so cool. They're like, well, this is our house now. We can come in and out as we please. So I don't think they were ever let out.
That makes sense.
Okay.
That makes sense. That's,
we could plan a thing to come and do the help with that? Or
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're not. I mean, they're a nuisance.
They're just a nuisance.
They're not.
Yeah. It's if they want to get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we'll tell them that.
Or at least just take them to the outside.
Yeah.
Where they should be. They should be outside, not in there.
Everything we'd experienced so far in this case was really somewhat new to me, and I was going to need some time to research and process what our next move might be. But for now, we wanted to take the staff back inside and have Sarah give a full and final update on the portals and what next steps might look like.
Go ahead and give them the rundown of what you saw.
So in the portals, you have three natural portals, right? In your front space, it's a natural in and out. This is just something that's created by nature. It happens, I'm assuming maybe somewhere there's a well on the property or something that's creating some kind of generation of energy, and it just happens. The interesting thing about the one in the front, it is between male and female energy, which is really cool. You have a male and female tree. It's right in the middle. So that's kind of cool. So I like that. Those are really cool natural portals. On the back end side, you have a natural portal that's in there. One that is an exit, which means it's dumping everything to visit, right? And one that is actually just an entrance, entrance only. Don't know where it goes, but it's an entrance only, no problem. Then you have another set that's also an exit. Right, but you have an exit and an entrance that was man-made. It was created. Somebody created that space, right? They purposefully opened it up, but they opened it up as a protective space. So you have three different protective spirits, I guess, if you will, that are kind of in that space, right? So we've got one that looks like a raven, one that looks like an owl, and one that looks like that little thing with the striped antlers. And so what I'm seeing is that this, it's like a big protective circle, but it goes all the way around and above the space as well. So whoever this practitioner was, I mean, they kind of knew what they were doing, right? It kind of worked out to where they protected the space the way that they were supposed to, which is why you're getting that really still energy the moment you drive onto the property, where you're like, oh yeah, this is nice, right? But then they also created the nuisance, right? So you can explain how the nuisance works.
Yeah, so when you cast a circle of protection or any kind of circle, especially if you're doing like a Wiccan circle or a witch circle, you're basically creating like a bubble around the whole property. And so that's what it is. So she can't see it, but there's actually the same thing below as well. So you're probably seeing like a globe.
Like a globe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it goes from land up to the other land, and then it goes down, so it keeps the whole space protected. That's the first step. The second step after that is what they call calling the corners or calling the quarters. And doing that, they can call specific elements, or you can call specific elementals. And earth elementals are gnomes. That's what they call them, gnomes. So I think what they did is they invited them in. And so now they're like, well, this is our home. Now we can just come in whenever we want. And then they probably didn't close the circle correctly, which most times people don't. They forget, or like, I don't know, it's just the weirdest thing. It happens a lot, especially in witch traditions, where they just like, oh, we forgot to close the circle. Oh, it's fine. It'll dissipate on its own. And it doesn't always dissipate. So that's more than likely what happened. So your circle is good because that's a protective barrier that's going to stay up. But then they did not banish the energy. That's a big part of it, is you have to banish the energy and say, like, you don't have to leave, but I don't want you to stay here all the time. You know, that kind of aspect of it. Otherwise, things like this happen where things start moving around. They, you know, cause issues. So it could be one of two things. You can either have someone banish them, and or we can keep them on the property, but keep them outside the property.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if not, you've got some great mascots. The Dripping Spoons Vision Center gnomes.
Yeah.
And you said there was another name, because, I mean, like, gnomes conjures up kind of like, obviously, that's people are going to think really like fairy tale stuff, but what was the earth? Was it earth elementals?
Earth elementals.
Okay.
There's different types of earth elementals. So, mm-hmm. like, there's ones that she's referring to that are plant and tree based ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look like giant trees, or they look like plants, or they look like animals. But the ones that come from the earth, literally of the earth, are, they call them gnomes, because they literally live in the deep, dark recesses of the ground.
Hmm.
Yeah. And but they don't look like David the Gnome. They don't have pointed hats.
Yeah, they don't have pointed hats.
Sorry.
They don't look like that. I really wish they
what
did.
What do they look like to you? What do you see?
To me, they look like smaller children. Sometimes they look like, okay, so if you were to get a small child and malnourish them and then age them, like, that's kind of what they look like to me. So it looks, they're the height, the height of a child, right? They're the height of a child, but they're not childlike. Like, their features are not little kid-like. They're older. They look a little older and a little bit more weathered. That's what they look like to me.
It was getting late, and we were wrapping up the investigation for the night. But while inside again, Sarah was pulled to the back hallway. Earlier, Sarah had mentioned something that I documented about Dr. Dobson's office area. I'm going to play it now, as when we eventually went back there again, more came to her that she had to reveal to Dr. Dobson related to his ancestors and family line. Listen to this first bit of audio from Sarah's first recap after her initial walkthrough.
Back in the back office, though, it's a different feeling. This is family, so I'm assuming this is your family. All of this is more of a family known feel. This is all family, so I'm assuming this is your office. It is your own family trying to reach out, kind of watching the space. This must have been something that was a really big either struggle to make or a big dream. Like, it has to have some kind of huge significance for you when you first got it and designed it and opened up the doors. And this is family just making sure it stays the way that you want it to stay, that you get in the people you need to get in, that you have that something behind it. I don't know. I'm not quite sure exactly how the they're not explaining really well why, but it's just one of those, like, we just want to make sure that it's successful, that it succeeds, that it does the things. There's a sense of kind of even like honor and pride to make sure that everything runs well. They're keeping the majority of what the spirits and the little gnome things are doing mostly over there than back here. But here it's the feeling of just being with people that you know, familiar. There'll be familiar things, little whispers, little touches, sometimes smells of things that feel familiar but not familiar at the same time. So it'll be like smells. For y'all, the effect is going to be the same thing. It's going to be a smell, but it's going to be something you're not, either you're not familiar with, or it kind of rings kind of familiar because it's familiar because you're working together, right? That's kind of the feel of things. It's really odd, but it's all family-based energy.
Now that we were wrapping things up inside again, Sarah was picking up more energy from Dr. Dobson's office area. She began to revisit these impressions she was getting earlier.
How did you first come across this space?
Drove by when it was in its home state, and just liked the location and the trees and thought that was like a great spot. That's how it was, just literally driving by, wanted a place in Dripping Springs.
How easy was it to get it?
It was challenging. You know, it was an expansion of a business to have a second location. Mm-hmm. And, but it was, what hit home to me about what you mentioned earlier was, you know, that it was a lot of work to make it happen, but it was also an original dream of mine to make, an office from scratch. I just love design and that sort of thing. And it was, so that rang home that you had mentioned, you know, it was a lot of work, a lot of, of a dream.
Of a dream.
That we realized.
Is there family that's gone before you that you were really close with, or that you might have like shared this sort of passion with you, or?
Not that I didn't know with that, as far as like a passing family member that would be, say, related to the business, other than grandparents, but they were not really, didn't know about this. So
This is an ancestral, they didn't have to know you to understand what it was that you wanted to benefit from, what you were going to do. All the strife, all the hard work that you did to be able to create the office, it was something that improved that line. And it was to do something that you wanted to do for the betterment of who you are. This is your global purpose. This is how it's, and you're succeeding in that. So that's something that they're always going to align behind. That and changing the trajectory of what the family line has handed down, right? So to give you like a crazy example, just an out there example, right? If all your family members are alcoholics, and they've handed that down from one generation to one generation to one generation, and all of a sudden you get that one person that's like, I'm never going to do that. We're going to have a better relationship with this. We're not going to do it that way. Then all of a sudden, all the mistakes that have been historically passed down, all those ancestors will line up and assist that person in making that change, because it's improving that wave that goes out tenfold to everybody else. And that's what you did. By achieving what you wanted to achieve in the fashion that you needed to at the timing that you wanted, they were seeing the improvement that was happening.
Wow.
And it goes tenfold, right? You help how many people?
He helps me now with my glaucoma.
Right?
And all of us and our staff at both offices, and I mean,
So
he makes us all
everything is
better,
is
people
moving out, and this is a huge generational change in your family line.
Wow.
So, of course, they're going to align, and they're going to be happy, and they're going to want to make sure that this stays successful. And she's helping She's just making sure that you're not getting interruption from, there are complications on the land, right? You do have a portal on the land. You have, you know, two big, you know, bright lights, both of you bringing in stuff, right? All the people that come in to visit, there's a lot of spirits coming here all the time. And they're helping make sure that it stays balanced. Little weird things are going to happen, sure, but it's still going to stay balanced.
There is something really special about Dripping Springs Vision Center. It's true. I was diagnosed with glaucoma at a young age, and I struggled to find a good practice that has been thorough and helpful with my condition. And after doing my initial interviews and visiting this place just once, I immediately left my eye doctor to start seeing Dr. Dobson. So maybe what Sarah was saying at the close of this investigation was true. Maybe Dr. Dobson has had a little help from the other side. But we weren't through here, not by a long shot. Sarah had offered some small actions like getting some plants for the female spirit and using candy or sugar to coax the gnomes outside when they were getting a little too annoying, but deep down I knew I had to do some more work to find more concrete solutions for Dr. Dobson and his staff. I myself was going to dive into research, but I also knew that we needed to pull our resources together and maybe find someone who was more experienced in witchcraft. So I decided to call Alexis and chat it over with him. Maybe we could figure out what our next move could be.
First off, I'm a little thrown off by the whole gnomes and fairies thing because that's just not my realm, my territory. Now, I know you have some experience in that because based on, you know, when we met in college, you had studied witchcraft a little bit, paganism, even Wiccan practices. Can you tell me a little bit like what you think next steps would be outside of Sarah, because she's kind of expelled all her knowledge to us now about leaving candies outside, things like that. But what can we do that's a little bit more permanent for this practice where they won't have to deal with those pesky, mischievous gnomes all the time?
It's funny because one of the things that was interesting about this case in particular is whenever he talked about like voodoo being done on the property. And when we were there, like immediately I kept thinking, somebody's practiced witchcraft here. Somebody's practiced witchcraft here. And I thought about it. I took, you know, I was thinking about it like later. You know, this idea that, you know, witchcraft and voodoo, they're obviously two different things as we know them. But to most people, they just see them as the same thing. They see candles, they see, you know, something that's ceremonial, and either they say, oh, that's voodoo, right? It's just kind of a blanket term. So I think that in this situation, yes, I know about gnomes and I know about these types of spirits, but we're dealing with something that comes in particular with witchcraft. Not in witchcraft in the way that we see it from like a Mexican perspective, like Lucia, but witchcraft in the sense of like paganism, Wicca, things along those lines, that type of traditional witchcraft even. So I would think in this situation, I think we can call in a friend of mine, see somebody you know as well, who has this type of experience, who's worked with these types of energies before. He would be a really good person to bring in on this case because not only that, he's also somewhat clairvoyant. So I think that would be really good to have him in. If anybody can figure out how to work with these energies, maybe even possibly remove these energies, this is definitely the guy.
Join us as this adventure continues on March 27th, where we enlist the help of a friend and experienced practitioner to visit Dripping Springs Vision Center and see if we can wrap up this interesting case in the Texas Hill Country. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter on our website, thenightowlpodcast.com, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at The Night Owl Podcast, and consider becoming a patron and supporting our show on Patreon at patreon.com/thenightowlpodcast to stay up to date with our show's news and events. Stay restless out there. I'd like to thank my investigative team, Sarah, Alexis, Franklin, for going on these crazy adventures with me. Nicholas Fair for his talented musical contributions to this show. My dad Sam for his incredible historical research. Bo for helping produce this busy indie show. Mikey for his assistance editing this particular episode. Sandra for keeping us all on schedule and on budget. And last but not least, David Dalton of Driftwork Sound for mastering every single episode on the tight turnarounds I give him. Please support their works by visiting our website, thenightowlpodcast.com, and clicking on the About tab. There you can find links to all their individual works and websites. This podcast was mastered by David Dalton of Driftwork Sound. Do you have a song that could use a professional touch to get it across the finish line? Do you wish you could remove the sound of a loud air conditioner or distracting mouth noises from your podcast recording? Whatever your issue, David can repair and enhance your audio and help you achieve rich, full, professional sound at industry standard loudness levels. Quit struggling with audio engineering and get back to creating. To discuss your options, reach out to David at driftworksound.com. That's DRIFT worksound.com and set your creative self free.